The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Glad to have you with us. If you had the holiday weekend, terrific. I hope that you enjoyed it. Not around here. It's football season, so we don't mark the holidays much until we get to the end of the year, at least for me. I am going to take off Thanksgiving, which kind of been hit or miss over the last 12 years that I've been here. Sometimes I take off, sometimes I don't. But since it's my first Thanksgiving as a married woman, I definitely want to do that. We're going to have some company in town. And as for Christmas, our boss is now asking when we'll be taking time off. We need your days off requirements. So giving us a deadline now. Though I did, Pete, I wrote back last week and didn't get a response. So I don't know if that means, hey, you're good to go or what.
Well, I think it's acknowledged because concerning the volume of requests that are probably received, I think no news is good news in that regard.
Ah, well, I'm not worried. I suppose they could say to me, no, you can't have the day off. And my response would be, what? I think I'm coming down with something. I might have a good 400 sick days stored up. I've used maybe 5 my entire 12 years here. Maybe.
Yeah, I think you may have some.
Yeah, and counting the days, it's been one of those years where I've had to take more time off earlier in the year because of honeymoon, which I do not begrudge, but also with the various trips we had to take back to Texas, I had to take some extra time off. So I'm kind of hoarding my days off to go with the actual holidays. But we're heading back to Texas. I may end up doing some shows from the super secret home base that's not actually my home base, but that would be my mom's home base. But we're really excited to be back in Texas at the end of the year and spend some time doing a whole lot of nothing with our moms, with our families. It's funny, too, because my mom and her husband, they're not going to have any other company. So it's going to be really quiet, just the four of us. And actually, last year, we were so happy for that because it was days after our wedding and all the of getting married and all the people that were in town and then out of town. And so this year, my mom may have a relatively, I think, stress-free foot procedure. But she said to me, what if I do it over the holidays? Well, you and Bob might have to cook. And that sounds great to me. I don't mind cooking at all. So yeah, give me some extra time to spend with the mama. But I haven't submitted, I guess, my final roster of days, but you and I will have to compare notes or not. What if it's like Jay and I last year, we went about 2.5 weeks without working on the same schedule because I got married and then came back on Christmas and he was gone then for another week. Yeah. So yeah, we were opposite for a while.
I think holidays and weddings kind of will throw anything off. I think they're kind of different than other times when you're taking just a regular vacation.
Yes.
So
do you know our 1 year anniversary falls on a Tuesday? Great.
Oh. So Tuesday. Touchdown Tuesday.
Right. So I will be here, actually. I'll be here. I'm not taking the night off because I don't have, as I say, extra days off to be able to take them. Instead, I'll be working here on my 1-year anniversary. That's awful. I don't know when you stop counting months. I suppose after 1 year, do you stop counting months then? Because we've celebrated every single month.
I would say after a year. Okay. I think that's all when right. we stopped.
Because, you know, with babies, you go to 13 and then 14, and it's about 18 months. That is 24 months, and then you kind of stop counting months.
Yeah, babies is about a year and a half. Like with my daughter, I'm already into, all right, when is she turning two?
Gotcha.
I can't keep up with the months now.
What if I said, who will be the first to forget, based on your experience? Not the year anniversary, but because I don't think I'll ever forget that. Neither will he. But the months. When do the months just you? A 17th rolls by and I'll just forget, or he'll forget. How long did it take you guys?
For the wedding, probably about a year and a half.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, probably about a year and a half. It was like another day, but you know, we knew it was there.
Yes.
But like, hey, all right.
All right. Yay.
We're looking forward to year two.
Year two. Oh, year two. Well, year one has been incredibly chaotic with everything that's happened in our lives, from moving to a construction project gone horribly wrong. Oh my gosh, you missed this last week when I was talking about how the construction project is a disaster. Oh, well, it's worse now. And the light, but then the 4 trips back to Texas, my brother's milestone birthday, our honeymoon, teaching at Syracuse. It's just been, well, the trip to Vegas for Super Bowl. It's been an extraordinary year, and I just want maybe 2 months of boring. Is that too much to ask? I don't remember the last time I was bored.
It's a fair request.
We're hoping that next year is a lot calmer. Also, we need to spend a lot less money. Weddings are expensive, in case you didn't know.
I do.
Oh, my gosh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. For those of you who are still on your Monday, that includes me, I just want to say one more huge thank you to our veterans and our military families for their sacrifices and their service. I heard from some of you on Monday, and it really meant a lot to me that you would respond and say thank you. I actually wanted to share one particular post that I got in return to something that I had put on Twix myself. And I did talk about this on Sunday night into Monday morning, but then I decided that I would put it out there on our social media so that it could reach a different audience. Because it does always crush me to hear about the high suicide rate among veterans. It's extraordinarily high. We really can do a better job caring for our military vets and their families after they've served and sacrificed for us. I can't even imagine what America would look like. I don't think there would be a free United States if not for our military. Many different stages of our American history that would look so different if not for the sacrifice and service of our military men and women. And so as a nation, I do firmly believe we should be offering hope and help when they need it. And I know that there's a lot of talk about how do you do that? How do you reach people, veterans who need the care? It's obviously got to be something that as Americans, we take seriously and we find ways in our own little circles. And this is a small thing, so I'm not holding it up there as something that everyone can do. But I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to mentor young people who are returning home from serving abroad. So these are men and women, one of each actually, in their 20s at the time that they finished up their service. So they had enlisted in some cases for college to get a free degree or to get that money for college or because they needed direction. And then when they were done, they had to figure out how to integrate themselves into the business world. And so I partnered with an organization that does not only provide support and encouragement, but financial help in some cases. And I was paired up with a couple of different veterans, again, in their 20s, who were searching for various ways to get into the business world. And their mental and I would say emotional challenges too are different than other people I mentor for obvious reasons. And so it was an opportunity for me to try to encourage and help the way that I could. And I know that there are lots of different ways in our own communities where we can help out. But I wanted to share with you the response I got from a veteran. His name is Jason, and he replied, "We had a briefing last month about suicide awareness and prevention at our VA. It used to be 22 veterans per day. It's actually dropped to 16 per day. Still way, way too high, but it has improved." And then he shared this with me. "I was close to being a statistic myself, but fellow vets have kept me afloat for the time being," which would seem to indicate that there's still times where he struggles, and maybe it's a lifelong struggle. And so I did thank him for sharing a little part of his story with me. And I said that I hope he has the opportunity to support and encourage others who are struggling the same way, because I firmly believe that everything we go through as humans, there are other people out there who've gone through the same exact thing and are, in fact, going through it at the same time. And he responded one more time and said, "I try my best. It's a daily battle, but I make it known I'm available to others as well." Now, Jason reached out to me on Monday. I've got other friends who are veterans, some of whom have had suicidal thoughts or even taken steps toward ending their lives. And that to me is so drastic and so agonizing that there would be people, but veterans who we should be taking care of, that think that there is no more, there's no more reason to continue living, that there is no hope. So I appreciate Jason again for sharing just a little bit of his story with me. And I do hope that we, as a society, can find a way to take care of our veterans in more tangible ways, right? In ways that can truly make a difference. I know that every industry in our country is struggling with fewer people to do more of the work, right? Like, that's pretty standard right now in the United States of America. It's here in the media industry. It's in every industry. It's my husband's industry too. I know that's pretty much the standard case. Pre-pandemic, but also now post-pandemic, and trying to figure out what that looks like. But these are people that we should not be forgetting, that should not slip through the cracks. And this is kind of sweet, Pete. When I woke up, my husband always comes up and hangs out with me for a little bit as I'm trying to shake the cobwebs out. I get mad at him too when he yawns like 7 times in a row. Are you kidding me? Stop yawning. Hi. This is not helpful. Anyway, he said he went to the gym on Monday, and he says there's a guy that he every now and then will see. You know, if you get in the same patterns, he goes to the gym at lunchtime, you get in the same patterns and you kind of run into the same people. And he said there's a guy that's there, big dude, wears his U.S. Marines veteran hat, and really is closed off. Not rude, not gruff, just kind of keeps to himself, goes about his business. But like a big dude that works out really hard. And I guess once or twice, my husband's tried to say hello and just has gotten kind of a nod in return. So he saw him on the treadmill on Monday, and I'm so proud of my husband for doing this. I'm not sure I would have. He decided he wanted to thank him for his service. A guy that, again, has not really acknowledged any you know, like at any point that he wants to have a conversation with Bob. And so Bob approached him on the treadmill, and I guess the guy gave him a look like, "What the hell are you doing?" And Bob just opened up and said, "I wanted to say thank you so much for your service to our country on this Veterans Day." And I guess the guy broke into a huge smile, dapped him up, said, thank you so much. I really appreciate that." Can you imagine what that meant? Just a thank you. Some guy who is bold enough, some guy he doesn't know from Adam, was bold enough to walk up and say thank you. And he said the guy's entire face lit up in a smile. So I hope that we had a chance to thank a lot of different veterans on Monday, because imagine what it means to them. Not in every case, but in some cases.
I think in majority of the cases it does. It just, they've done something that a lot of us wouldn't or haven't.
Or can't,
or
right?
Or can't. And it's pretty remarkable. If you just even sit and you think and you put yourself in their shoes,
mm-hmm.
just 5 minutes of what they are and what they've done in the military is just something you cannot imagine. And yeah, I'm very grateful for that, for their service, as are you. And it's just anytime you can say thank you, or an extra smile, or an extra dap.
Dap. You got dapped up.
Yeah. Anytime you could do it, because they are the reasons why we're here.
I had the chance to visit Pearl Harbor in May as part of our trip to Hawaii, and it was very powerful. It was very poignant. It was the sole reason that we ended up spending a couple of days in Honolulu. And we spent most of the morning out at Pearl Harbor and then going on to the USS Arizona. And yeah, just the significance of what happened there. This is really, it's just neither here nor there, but this is kind of how it affected me. I used to love the movie Pearl Harbor, and after visiting actual Pearl Harbor and USS Arizona, now I don't want to watch it because not that it wasn't real, that's not what I mean, but just to watch it in a movie doesn't do it justice and doesn't really pay the proper homage to the people who sacrificed there. And there were thousands of people, right? And the way that it crippled our military initially. And so I did share a photo when I was out on the USS Arizona, and I'm sure this is a photo that a lot of people have taken, but it was so perfect for me to be able to capture this image of a gorgeous blue sky, a few white puffy clouds, and through the roof of the Arizona, the American flag waving there in the wind. And so I did share that at ALOL Radio, also put it up on our Facebook page, and I hope that you'll check it out. I'm sure, as I say, there are a bazillion photos of that place and that moment, but to actually have snapped that photo myself means something different to me. So I hope for those of you who are veterans that you know how much I appreciate you, how much Pete appreciates you. We could not do what you do. And in return, I know that there are a lot of veterans, and active military men and women overseas or abroad who do listen to our show. And I've heard from so many who've come home and have said, your show was our piece of home. Your show kept us connected. And then you see broadcasts like Monday Night Football, where they've got cameras with various troops that are overseas, and how excited they are to be able to be on TV. And can you imagine their families who haven't, well, maybe you see them on video call now. I know, thankfully, the technology allows us to stay more connected over the miles, but they're able to see their loved ones in their uniforms and proudly saluting as they're watching Monday Night Football. So I thought that was really cool. Did you see the moment, Monday Night Football, where I think he was Air Force, don't quote me on that, but I think he was Air Force, and he was part of one of those surprises for his family. So his wife was in on it, but his mother-in-law and his son had no idea he was walking out of the tunnel at SoFi Stadium, and he does. And of course, I cried over his son. Just his son was so emotional, recognizing that his dad was standing right in front of him. Those moments are so sweet.
Especially with children. It's really
something. Awesome.
The bond there with parents who have served and children, and just the path that children have had to go into school, like going to school and go try to live their lives with their families overseas.
Yeah, it's tough.
Remarkable.
It is. And it really underscores the sacrifice. It's not just about putting your life on the line, which definitely happens, whether combat or no, just being in some of these areas of the world where tensions are high. So whether it's troops abroad or even here, we know that sometimes there are accidents, training accidents, those types of things that happen. And so even when we've got our military men and women who are here in the United States, you're still this element of sacrifice and understanding that you're putting your life on the line. But then to do it with kiddos, as you say, that underscores just how much of a step this is to step away from families and to be away from the people that you care about for long stretches of time. 855-212-4227. We can get to some of your calls. Neil, if you want to hang on, we'll get to you after the break. We do want to talk a little college football on this edition of the show. A lot of times we don't get to it on Sunday nights into Monday mornings simply because I try to get to every NFL game, and it's a lot always, especially when we've got wild results like we did in week number 10. But definitely want to get to some college football before this hour is done. And we want to reveal your choice for Monday MVP. It was a very tight race at last check. Oh, yeah, there's only a half hour left. And right now, it's a narrow margin, the slimmest of margins, separating Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. So if you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, you can do that. And soon, oh, so very soon, we will reveal the candidates for TD of the week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
At A-Law Radio is where you can find me, also where you can find our polls retweeted. We've got Monday MVP still live and begging for your ballot. And then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, very soon we will get to your candidates for TDO the week. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Neil, who's in Connecticut. Neil, welcome to the show.
Hey there. Hey. What's going on? I just started working nights, so just been listening to your show, and I can't really listen to my guys during the day, so I just wanted to talk about Drake May versus Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in the game this Sunday, because it's obvious that May outplayed Williams, but just on the season in general, it seems like May has been more poised. Caleb Williams has a couple of highlight throws that make him look pretty good, but I don't know. I definitely like what I see in May because more than anything, I just didn't think he was going to be any good at all. You know, North Carolina doesn't.
How come?
I don't know. Who's the best player to come out of North Carolina?
Michael Jordan.
all basketball guys. Julius Peppers. He was also even a basketball guy. He's the only one that comes to mind. You know, Mitch Trubisky was. That's what I was thinking when I saw Drake May. I was thinking Mitch Trubisky.
All right.
You know, he can move pretty well. Does good for the scouts. But I don't know. He seems more poised and ready than I thought he'd be. So I don't know. I just haven't watched too much of Caleb Williams. I just didn't know if anybody was talking about that at all. Looking like May might be the guy. I mean, Jaden Daniels is obviously the quarterback of the draft, but I don't know. I thought May opened some eyes. Nice to see someone push the ball down the field. You know,
yeah, Tom Brady for sure.
He's not walking through that door.
No, he definitely is not. Here's what I think about Drake. I love his arm, his accuracy. I think he's got both of those. Now, we see it in flashes. We obviously don't see the consistency then or all the time. And that's the case with all these QBs. Even Jaden Daniels, as good as he's been, there are times when their offense goes completely dry. And that's just what happens with rookies. They giveth and they taketh away in their first seasons, especially when you're talking about playing behind an offensive line that's not great. And I know the Patriots have had some real issues with their offensive line. So a lot of it is not on him, even when he struggled. But there are also moments, like there was an interception on Sunday that you thought, huh, well, what was that exactly?
Yeah, he's staring the guy down.
Right.
Yeah, that was silly.
But Caleb Williams, same thing. And I do believe that Caleb coming out of USC and being groomed to be a future NFL star has given him poise.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He approached the job as a professional even before he had it. And I think it's pretty clear the Bears made him their number one choice. And he knew there was he was going to be their choice for quite a while before he was actually drafted. So he's been groomed for this role. I think the way he speaks, the way he handles the responsibilities, all that is terrific. He's got accountability. So all of the intangibles Caleb has. Yeah, it's hard to see what they are actually able to do. I would agree with you that he makes some kind of bonehead mistakes. And you think, like, what? That's the number one overall pick. But also their offensive line. You saw the Patriots game allowing him to get he was under siege. But the 9 sacks, yeah. What was it, 13 other QB hits. He was under pressure almost the entire game. It's kind of hard to know what a quarterback can do, whether you're young or whether you're old, if you're constantly under siege. Go ahead.
Sorry.
I was going to say, I really like both. They're obviously very different quarterbacks. I like Drake's size. I think that gives him great vision of the field. And what we've seen from him, he's clearly taking the coaching, and you can see him kind of make those improvements and take those steps, which is why it's pretty exciting. But they don't have a complete offense yet. They still need to put a lot of pieces around him. If not for Ramondre Stevenson, I'm not even sure they have the 3 wins.
Yeah, I think the Patriots also have, like, an all-time bad offensive line. Like,
it's tough.
It's
yes.
That bad. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm not really going to say that Caleb Williams doesn't have that, you know, May is able to kind of step up and slide around and then take off efficiently.
Yeah, he runs well. He runs really well.
Their defensive line is also terrible, too. So the fact that they were getting pressure, you know, I don't know if he was holding the ball too long or whatever. I'm not going to – but – yeah, no, I don't know. I wasn't too mad at Mac Jones, so, like, I thought getting him a guy like Marvin Harrison or Neighbors would have done. I don't know. I think that would have helped him out, and maybe not,
sure.
You know, made him a franchise guy. But I don't think we'd have been. You know, taking any steps backwards with that. So
yeah, it's hard to evaluate a quarterback, right? When you don't have proper targets. Daniel Jones, he's an interesting case study because he's got all the physical tools and yet has not been able to put it together. I think a lot of people believe it's more mental with him. I think with both Caleb and Drake, and Jaden, obviously, too, and even Bo Nix. I mean, we're seeing some good flashes from Bo as well, that they've got the mental tools as well as the physical tools. It's still just a wild ride, partly because of the offensive line, but also, I mean, just looking at that Patriots roster and who, you know, what receiver on their roster would end up being a 1 or a 2 anywhere else?
Yeah, I feel like there's nobody on the Patriots with any, like, aura, if you will.
I like that, aura.
Yeah.
That's good. It's well, like Drake May seems to have it at times, and he's getting great, not just great coaching, but I do think that Jacoby Brissett is a quarterback that young guys can learn from. He's got a lot to share. Very often the guys who have to sit and watch, they've got better knowledge and wisdom about, you know, what happens on the field than even guys who are out there all the time. And so Jacoby has just been in so many different situations with a lot of different coaches and a lot of different systems, and so it's great to have him as a tutor for Drake as well.
Yeah, no, I was at the game where he came in for the first time for Garoppolo the year Brady was suspended.
Yes.
The only time tickets were cheap enough for me to get to a game.
I hear that.
yeah, I just feel like, you know, like I said, aura, it's a funny word, but, like, honestly, it's like, it does mean something. Like, there's no one to get excited about for the fans or the players on the field, you know, like, to kind of look over and be like, man, what are we going to do? Don't worry. So-and-so can put us on their back.
Yes, that's part of being a rebuild. But here's the thing, Neil. I don't think anyone in the United States of America is going to have any type of sympathy for Patriots fans. I hate to break it to you.
That's so fair. Cool.
It's okay to have a little adversity with your football team.
Yeah, I'm not even mad at it.
I'm glad.
You know, like I'll take these licks, but you know, I don't know, to see May outplay Williams was definitely a good thing, and I like that. I'm gonna give him credit where it's due. So
he can zip the ball. I mean, when he's got his target and when he's in a good rhythm, I mean, there's a lot to like about him. Just still raw. I mean, he is. Even Caleb, who, as I say, was kind of groomed for this, he's definitely raw too. But I'm excited for both these guys and for Jaden. I think the three of them, as well as Bo Nix, maybe J.J. McCarthy too. I mean, we're looking at some guys that will kind of be the core of the quarterback, say, 10, 15 years down the road if they stay healthy.
Yeah. I think Trevor Lawrence was kind of looked at as one of those guys, but he's kind of taking a lot of steps backwards with him. So
for sure.
I guess I'll leave you with the one thought I heard. The Cleveland Cavaliers kind of stuff going on while I was waiting here, and I don't really think that they are contenders. I don't think that they're going to give the Celtics any issue. But I don't really know that anybody else in the East will either. So I don't know. I know
quite
it's football,
statement.
But
it's 12 games, and you're sure.
Oh, I mean, with the Celtics, like, I don't know, the Knicks are going to nick, then that's for sure. And Cleveland, I don't know, I just don't think they have, if they get into a situation where even if they're playing better and they, you know, they get someone else on their team, another piece, the Celtics now have that experience that has cost them in years past.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So I don't know that, you know, anybody else, if they get the Celtics on the ropes, is going to be able to finish the job.
Miami?
Yeah, not anymore.
All right.
A couple of years ago, for sure, with the bubble, and then 2 years ago. But yeah. I don't know. They're just not quite the same team. I'm not worried about them either. But
that's true.
I appreciate your time. And,
yeah, absolutely, Neil. Good to talk to you. Enjoy nights. Welcome to the dark side.
Yeah, thanks.
855-212-4227. If you're wondering, if you would like to circle it on your calendar, exactly 1 week from Tuesday, we've got the first game between the Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. And that is a game that's on TNT. Right now, by the way, watching SportsCenter in front of me and just saw the moment with the little boy whose dad walked out of the corner of SoFi Stadium as a veteran. And his son was surprised, got the surprise of his lifetime. So I guess his wife was in on it, so she knew it was happening. But the mother-in-law had no idea and the son had no idea. And his face, he was definitely in shock. It was sweet. One of those moments. They just get you every time.
Yeah, I didn't see it live. I just saw it now that it was in front of me, but I didn't see it live. I didn't realize it happened during the game. That's cool.
Yeah, really neat. And according to, I think it was Scott Van Pelt who was doing the post game that I heard him say, it got the loudest ovation of any other moment during the entire game, which is awesome. There was a moment over the weekend that definitely caused me to tear up sports, right? But I told you, I cry when other people cry. I laugh when other people laugh. Even when it's inappropriate, sometimes I do it. But this was a moment that based on something we had talked about earlier in the week, I wanted to make sure that I shared with you because there is video to go along with. Just be prepared. It might make you tear up as well. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, vote for Monday MVP. Time is running out. Coming up, your candidates for TD of the week as well. And a little college football. I'm just going to be honest. I think it does you no good to find a school when students rush the field. How they couldn't care less. What does a student care if an administration has to pay a fine? Tell me that. Any connection at all? None whatsoever.
No.
No. So we got to come up with something different, but that's definitely not going to work. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And we're sponsored by LinkedIn. Let LinkedIn's deep candidate insights help you find your next Pro Bowl hire today. To post your job for free, go to LinkedIn.com/recruitment. Terms and conditions apply. Dolphins relying on their defense, forcing a pair of turnovers while sacking Matthew Stafford four times, holding the Rams without a touchdown in a 23-15 victory.
You know, I want to be able to look at the tape, but there was a lot of things that were not in alignment with what we're looking for. That's why, you know, you hear us talk about the importance of the continuity. Got a lot of respect for that defense. They did a nice job, but there was too many things that it just seemed like We were off and never gave ourselves a chance.
Rams head coach Sean McVay at Tua Tagovailoa threw for 207 and a touchdown. Miami won for just the third time this year, sending the Rams back under 500, 4-5, snaps their three-game win streak. Cowboys continue to deal with a difficult season, leading many to question what things are going to look like next year. Micah Parsons didn't seem to really have a high praise for Mike McCarthy's future, but McCarthy not looking to make more of it than it was.
Well, I think like anything with post-game remarks and really any remarks, when it does create questions for others in the locker room, something that I've always done, conversation has to happen. So, Mike and I had a conversation this morning about it and, handled those things as men should handle it.
NBA, the Cavs handle the Bulls 119-113, making it 12 straight wins coming out of the gates in the season. Donovan Mitchell, 36 points, 8 rebounds. Thunder outscored the Clippers 134-126, courtesy of 45 from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Nets up in the Pelicans 107-105. Rockets overpower the Wizards 107-92. And the Spurs, they took out the Kings 116-96 as Victor Wembanyama had 34 points and 14 rebounds. College Hoops number 2, Alabama held off McNeese State 72-64. Iowa State erased Kansas City 82-56. Purdue handled Yale 92-84. Marquette handled Central Michigan 70-62. Florida punished Grambling 86-62. Ohio State rolled Youngstown State 81-47. Texas A&M pounded Lamar 97-71. And Rutgers topped St. Peter's 75-65. And former NFL head coach Jack Del Rio will resign as a senior advisor to Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell after he was arrested for operating a vehicle while intoxicated following a car crash in Wisconsin. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Milroe, quarterback draw, has room 30, 35, 40, foot race across midfield, 30, 20, 10, good night, touchdown Alabama. 72 yards, and Jalen Milroe sends a good bit of the 102,000 that were here at kickoff for the exits.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Crimson Tide Radio Network, one of the big SEC clashes over the weekend, and by Kalen DeBoer leading Alabama into Death Valley and beating LSU on a rainy Saturday night under the lights. Couple things happened. Number one, LSU fans were acting a fool, shacked in a fool, I think is something from Inside the NBA on TNT. But also, Alabama is able to stay alive for the college football playoff by avoiding a third loss. So Milroe with 185 yards rushing, a career high for him. Four touchdowns. The longest was his final run. You hear it there. 72 yards through traffic. And this was a shellacking. It was not close. And for that reason, LSU fans were ticked off. And they were throwing items onto the field, bottles, other debris. It's crazy now that this is the go-to for fans. And I know that we talked about it. Shoot, who was the other college team? The college team that got fined for doing this? I don't remember now off the top of my head. I could try to go and to Google it. But while I'm in the middle of a segment, I won't do that. But we had talked about this because it seems ineffective to me to fine a school when your fans go crazy. Do you think any of the LSU students give a flying bleep about how much money the SEC has fined the administration or the athletic department? Heck no. Now, there are increasing fines for second offenses, third offenses. So Ole Miss also incurred a fine because the students rushed the field following their victory over Georgia. And this is actually with time still left on the clock, which is dangerous. Forget just being stupid and crazy. So because there are steps to the fining program, yeah, they end up paying more. But tell me how that affects students. So LSU fans are throwing crap on the field, violating the SEC's sportsmanship, game management, and alcohol availability policies. That's a mouthful. I'm not even sure how many students know what that is. So LSU has to pay the fine. Now, here's the one way that it could affect students if it becomes more than, say, one or two people. They have to go back and look at the video footage, whatever available video they have. And this was a nationally televised game. Whatever video is available to them, they tried to identify the people who threw crap on the field at the opposing team. And those people who are identified correctly are then not allowed to attend any more LSU sporting events for the rest of this academic year. Okay, so maybe that stings. Maybe that leaves a mark. But to fine the athletic department or the administration means a whole lot of nothing to the students themselves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I had said this earlier whenever we talked about the last time this happened, the last incident. As much as it sounds drastic to revoke alcohol sales or to revoke the ability, the permission to sell alcohol, that, to me, is what really gets through to the students. Now, granted, there are ways around it. They can bring alcohol to tailgate. They can probably can't smuggle it in with the bag policies these days. But there are ways they can try to enjoy their alcohol, their adult beverages, before or after. But to not have it inside the stadium, to me, that leaves a mark. To me, that makes a difference. Now, so far, it's not been a step that the SEC has taken. But I think it should at some point if you really want to send a message. So Georgia ends up losing again, this time to Ole Miss. And this also means that Ole Miss now is still sitting on two losses and still alive for the playoff. And yeah, Lane Kiffin, he certainly understands what it's like to be part of the SEC and the crunch and this crazy conference schedule.
There's not been a signature game like this, and been close, you know, when Alabama was here and all that. So just really happy because I know we've been close with games, and for our fans, you know, for them to be able to enjoy this. And, you know, that's a great Georgia team, won outside Alabama and won 51 straight games against people and since COVID. So just happy for our players too to play that way, and what ends up kind of being dominant, you know, to win three scores is a lot of people doing a lot of things right.
Welcome to the SEC, baby. I mean, I said when the season started that it was going to be the toughest schedule we've ever had in the SEC, with the addition of, you know, the Texas game on top of all the others we had to play. And it's extremely tough. It's difficult. I mean, the outlook of going to those four road games, the Kentucky, the Texas, the Alabama, and this one, we knew it was going to be really tough.
That's the voice of one Kirby Smart, a little bit off mic, but he's obviously been around the SEC as well. And yes, there is some cannibalism, meaning they will take each other out. It's a little bit like what Ron Rivera told us about the NFC North, is these teams will eventually end up taking each other out, or at the very least, we'll have one that rises above. But until they start playing each other, you don't really know what they're made of. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, also at Amy After Hours to get to all of our polls. And if you want to weigh in on the show, you can do that. These fines that the schools are incurring, they make headlines and then they go away. And I understand that there's a lot of emotion in college football. There's a lot of just the hype and the excitement, which means that these are events that become ever, well, and then you throw in national TV, they become ever increasingly points where students really want to make a mark, right? Whether it's on TV individually or just having their school highlighted, it's a big deal. And to the more that these students, the ones who are creating trouble are obviously not the majority, but those, the more that they are able to get themselves in the news, I kind of feel like it runs counterproductive to what should be the case, which is there should be individual punishments or maybe even entire student sections when it comes to going without a game for going without alcohol for a game. One thing that I did see this weekend, and I hope that you will check it out if you haven't already seen it. We had talked about Kirk Herbstreit losing his sweet golden retriever, Ben, last week. He shared photos and videos, and I retweeted them, and I was so grateful that I was able to share them with you because I truly believe we agree on nothing in this country except football and dogs. And in this case, for Ben, there was a combination where the two worlds juxtapose into a perfect storyline. Ben traveled with Kirk Herbstreit for the last couple of years when he's always on the road. Of course, he does Thursday Night Football with Al Michaels and Prime, but also does Game Day and does the Game of the Week for his other networks. And so we got to see a lot of Ben on the game day set, whether it's walking through hotel rooms, whether it's interaction with coaches, also stop, drop, and roll right in the middle of a football field. And then Kirk had to say farewell to him. The Herbstreit family had to say farewell to him last week. And so over the weekend, on College Game Day, Kirk Herbstreit was sitting there on the set. I'm blown away by the fact that he's able to work without seemingly showing any cracks in his emotions. And they asked him to talk a little bit about Ben, and he just lost it. I mean, the type of ugly crying that we all do when we lose pets or people who are close to us. He couldn't even really form a sentence. We tried so hard to keep his emotions in check, but there was no way. However, and I'm going to reshare the video now at A-Law Radio if you go and you watch it. What Reese Davis was able to do was kind of take that moment from him and lead into a sweet video package that was put together as a tribute for Ben. It will make you cry, but good tears, as in, yes, all dogs go to heaven, and yes, they're gone too soon, but man, what an impact they make on our lives, and in this case, in the case of Ben, on an entire nation of college football fans, so check it out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.